Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. In today's program, we would like to start with an article from the April issue of Share International magazine, and the article is called The Climate Ordeal, Aligning Humanity's Moral Compass, and it's by Wanya Amling. For almost three decades, world governments have met every year to forge a global response to the climate emergency. Under the 1992 United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC for short, every country on Earth is treaty-bound to avoid dangerous climate change and find ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions globally in an equitable way. But to this day, global emissions continue to rise and the impacts of climate change are hitting harder and earlier than ever. Scientific warnings are dramatized by unprecedented glacial melting in Greenland and wildfires in Australia. In fact, the nations of the Earth have accomplished very little thus far to avert an impending, entirely foreseeable catastrophe. What keeps our elected officials and mankind as a whole from altering its path of apparent self-destruction? If solutions are cheaper, public opinion is mobilised and the impacts much clearer, why is political action not following?
Scientists tell us again and again that without a big increase in our actions, it will be practically impossible to keep climate change within safe limits. And yet, the 25th iteration of the Conference of the Parties, which is the COP25, which took place in Madrid at the close of the 2019, saw delegates from nearly 200 countries struggling to reach agreement on key issues on the framework underpinning the Paris Climate Accord. All relevant and pressing issues such as drawing up rules on a carbon market between countries were deferred to the next climate summit in November 2020, making yet another missed opportunity to ratchet up ambitions on climate action. The staggering failure of international leadership is all the more important in light of a plethora of new studies that showcase the urgency to act swiftly.
We could list a myriad of reasons as to why our leaders seem to fail us in meeting the twin objectives of a low-carbon and climate-resilient development pathway, from bureaucratic inertia to ideological resistance, from nations like the USA or Brazil who threaten to pull out of the Paris Accord, thus undermining effective international climate negotiations, to powerful multinational corporations, which weigh in all their accumulated power to continue their business as usual, whilst destroying land and polluting the air. What they all have in common is a basic narrative around climate change, which is itself part of the problem. It makes climate change seem unsolvable and narrows it down to fossil fuel and emissions instead of placing more emphasis on the planet as a living being.
globalization and its discontents have been wreaking havoc on the very organs and tissues of this being, including ecosystem, biodiversity, wetlands, and coral reefs. By degrading the biosphere, the planet becomes much less capable of dealing with challenges such as rising sea levels. Even if we could cut carbon emissions overnight and engineer our way out of the climate crisis through innovative technologies and superimposed laws and regulations, the planet would still die a death of a million cuts. As long as the dominating narrative is not shifting towards a more holistic approach of regeneration, conservation, and the healing of the planet in all its facets, then we sidestep the core problem and delay our moral duty to care for the Earth.
This brings the focus on environmental urgency to a local level and makes it much more tangible as we see the damage being done to our rivers, soils and forests right in front of our eyes. The phenomenon of climate change also becomes much more concrete when we can act on it right here and now. However, it requires a fundamental change in our relationship to the material world and a growing recognition of our individual role in it, for therein lies the real problem, our spiritual crisis. Crises like the looming climate collapse are but symptoms and expression of this main cause. Our collective failure is to be found in the people's deeply ingrained materialistic and egoistic perception of life, the mode of living that comes with it, as well as the complacency that refuses to act differently and to refrain from the luxury we have grown accustomed to, foremost in developed nations, which drive the climate crisis in the first place. Scapegoating others leads only to a dead end and diverts attention away from real solutions.
In this way, the climate crisis almost forces us to the realization of our interdependence, because the losses we are seeing are connecting us with all life on Earth. As long as we do not demonstrate and put to daily practice a sense of local and global companionship and express principles along the lines of sharing and trust, we will inevitably face existential threats. As Albert Einstein says, we cannot solve the problems that face us today with the same level of thinking that created them. If not carried out with a different set of values and motivations, then reducing the number of global carbon emissions only transfers our real problem to another playing field. The underlying questions of concern is therefore one of consciousness and right motive. The moral compass of humanity needs to be aligned to its inherent interconnectedness with all living beings.
The social, political, and economic structures we have created over many decades are, more evidently than ever, inhibiting the expression of altruistic behaviour and so keeping humanity in thrall. The climate crisis, as we know it today, is inexorably linked to our current economic system, in which we find competition and greed to be the overwhelming forces. Commercialization has crept into almost all aspects of life, corrupting the minds and hearts of many. Walls are being built between people, alienating one from the other. The truth is, we live in a global market dictatorship where economic profit and power reign, and decisions from local to global levels are skewed towards making ever more money and increasing power, too often to the detriment of millions of people who bear the brunt of unjust and unfair decisions. The climate crisis is no exception. As Maitreya says, commercialization is more destructive than any atomic bomb. Because the levels affected are not of mere physical nature, but infiltrate finer levels of people's thinking and feeling, leading us to believe that we are in competition with one another.
Politics will not change unless the awareness of people everywhere undergoes a shift towards a more genuine and shared sense of oneness with all humanity, our brothers and sisters. For politicians, delay when they fear the risk of action outweigh the risks of inaction. The people's voice is the ultimate yardstick by which to measure change for the better. The inherently sensed truth that all deserve a dignified life is already propelling millions to demand changes, be they related to the climate crisis or other ills of modern society. The momentum is gaining speed on the part of those who feel a deep urge to transform a profoundly unjust system, as their innate requests for a more fulfilling life no longer resonate with the outworn structures of today.
A critical mass of those people can inspire and galvanize men and women everywhere until a social tipping point is reached where people join a global movement capable of overcoming present deadlocks in all fields. People will then find it easier to follow suit and stand up for what they inwardly know to be true and in line with their spiritual nature, affirming sharing and justice as the natural and only way to engender trust in a safer world for all. This is where the initiatory ordeal of climate change may be taking us. Initiatory in the sense that it would force us towards new, more cooperative ways. Existing multilateral processes like the UNFCCC can provide a platform for the world to come together and address the global climate crisis in a truly cooperative fashion, worthy of our spiritual origin.
Right, and now we have another article from Share International. It's about a top rabbi who says that the Messiah is here. An influential Israeli rabbi, rabbis are telling the faithful that the Messiah is here. Highly revered Rabbi Shaim Kanievsky has announced that not only is he here among us, but that he himself is in contact with the coming one. In fact, the rabbi says he is already holding meetings with the Messiah. In early February 2020, Kanievsky told several other rabbis that the Messiah is about to reveal himself. Religious Jews are taking this announcement seriously because Shaim Kanievsky is considered one of the two or three top rabbis within the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in Israel. It was Rabbi Kanievsky who passed on this information to another rabbi, Yaakov Zoltz, who was recently interviewed on Radio 2000, a religious broadcaster in Israel. In a three-hour interview, Zoltz in effect told listeners that they need to be ready to prepare themselves for the Messiah who would soon reveal himself. During the radio program, Rabbi Zoltz said that the process of redemption is about to start happening very quickly and at a fast pace. It is important that people remain calm and steady to act properly in the right time. There is a potential Messiah in every generation, and there are righteous men who know precisely who it is. This is, of course, true in this generation. Getting the word out now that the Messiah is closer than ever is a matter of life and death. Right now, the situation is explosive, more than you can possibly imagine. Everyone needs to know whether they are on the inside or if they are going to be left out.
And that last quote was from the Rabbi Zsolz. Another leading Israeli Torah scholar is pointing to what he sees as signs of the Messiah's presence. He says, look at the signs. Messiah is coming. He's already at the door. Rabbi Shlomo Amar is the former Shepherdic chief rabbi of Israel. According to Amar, the list of signs cannot be ignored. And he says, these are things we never dreamed of. How can these things be if not as preparation for the coming of the Messiah? And Rabbi Amar went on to say, all the great rabbis of this generation are saying that the Messiah is about to reveal himself. All the signs the prophets gave, all the signs predicted in the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Midrash, everything is taking place one by one. All we need is to remain strong for a little bit longer. He then urges Jews everywhere to commit themselves to Torah observance, in particular keeping the Shabbat. Orthodox Judaism has long taught that Messiah will only come once all Jews are sanctifying the Shabbat.
Such advice is, of course, not limited to Judaism, but can be found in other religious practices and scriptures as well, as in the Ageless Wisdom teachings, which, although not religious, calls all people to be at peace with their conscience, to live according to their own highest ideal, and to stand for justice, tolerance, and right human relationships. As our readers will know, Benjamin Krem spent 40 years disseminating information about the return of the world teacher for all humanity, regardless of creed and cultural expectations. Rabbi Amar's exhortation echoes those of Yeshua, or Jesus. And he quotes, "Stay dressed." This is taken from Luke 12, verses 35 to 40. It says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect."
A fascinating aspect to the announcements made by Kanievsky is how widespread the conviction appears to be that this is the time of the Messiah. Following Rabbi Amar's comments, one of the world's top Kabbalist rabbis, Rabbi Avner Efkin, a respected spiritual leader in both Europe and the United States, also expressed a similar view in an interview with the religious Israeli news portal Kikar Hashabat. He too believes that what has happened here over the past year is most definitely a sign of the coming of the Messiah, and it would be advisable at this time to study Torah and pray. His advice is further echoed by ultra-Orthodox Rabbi Ron Chaya, who encouraged followers to prepare for the arrival of the Messiah. "All the warning signs of the coming of the Messiah are there, and to remain indifferent would be a tragedy," he said in a video posted on social media viewed more than 50,000 times. And that was taken from thetimesofisrael.com and israeltoday.co.il.
And from the modern Orthodox tradition in the U.S. comes another vital message. Rabbi Yosef Kanevsky urges us to be mindful of, and he quotes, "One of the brand new terms that has entered our daily conversation is social distancing," unquote. But I'd humbly suggest that we use the term itself sparingly, if at all. Language is a powerful shaper of thinking. And the very last thing we need right now is a mindset of mutual distancing. We actually need to be thinking in the exact opposite way. Every hand that we don't shake must become a phone call that we place. Every embrace that we avoid must become a verbal expression of warmth and concern. Every inch and every foot that we physically place between ourselves and another must become a thought as to how we might be of help to the other should that need arise.
It is obvious that distancing, if misplaced or misunderstood, will take its toll not only upon our community's strength and resiliency, but upon the very integrity and meaning of our spiritual commitment. And who knows if it was for this time that we have committed ourselves to walk in God's ways. The way that we will protect and save ourselves is through protecting and saving others, as is always true. Let's stay safe. And let's draw one another closer in a way that we've never done before. So that was from Rabbi Yosef Kanevsky. He's from the Modern Orthodox Congregation in Los Angeles.
Well, that ends our program for today. And if you want more information, you can contact us at www.share-international.org, or you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. So thank you for listening, and God bless.